Let's go. When the voices arise from the storm and the storm and immortalize. Let's go. You can find me below. I am the enemy, no. When the voices arise from the storm and the storm and immortalize. Let's go. You can find me below. What is good? What is good? What is really, really good? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all, simple black entertainment, proud to bring to you the NFL review.
You're getting better at this. I love it. I love it.
My name is Big Stan. I am joined by Hollywood J. Black. And today we will be talking about the AFC South and what we think is going to go down. What's up, Hollywood?
Oh, you know how we do. You know how we do. Wonderful.
Was that intro better? Did that intro work out better for you?
It was beautiful. It's almost there. It was 7.2 out of 10. We're getting there. All right, you got to charge it up to Super Saiyan level blue, and then we're just right there. Yeah, Super Saiyan yellow right now. So you're good. You got to get the blue. Got to get the Super Saiyan blue. We're almost there. Got to get the blue.
Just remember, it is 7:56 here in Las Vegas, and people in my house are still sleeping.
No deal.
Anyway, as I said, we are here to talk about the AFC South.
Yeah.
And we are just going to get right into this one. We are just going to start off with the former Jacksonville Jaguars with a 2019 record of 6-10. They underperformed last year after the year before going, almost to the Super Bowl until they ran into the Patriots?
Yeah, well, two years prior. So this was the Jacksonville Jaguars had the largest turnaround and the largest downfall all in a matter of two seasons. And so the crazy part about the AFC South has been one of the most entertaining divisions in the NFL over the last two seasons, because the Jaguars, we don't know what the hell you're going to get every time the Jaguars step on the field, okay? But I will say that there's a lot of promise in Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew looks entrenched as the future quarterback of the franchise. So I like him. We've seen him play last year. Dude gives zero fucks. He balls. He is a cult hero down in Jacksonville.
Well, yeah, because it's the porn star mustache.
Yes, a nice mustache will get you a long way, right? And so, Leonard Fournette's still there. All the management is gone. The previous management is gone. New management is in place. So, and well, the other thing you got to add is that AEW, which is owned by the Khan family, specifically Tony Khan, they want to build up that brand down there. It's organic right now. So to me, this is perfect. This is a perfect time. If you're a Jaguars fan, there's actually some hope, some promise and some premise. The defense is still legitimately one of the best defenses in the NFL.
They did lose Calais Campbell, which is big.
They did. But we'll go over some of the additions that they made too as well. So let's go into that right now.
Actually, so real quick with the COVID optional holdouts, they lost Larry T. McCray, Rashawn Melvin, and Al Woods. All three defensive players, a linebacker, corner, and a defensive lineman.
Okay.
So, but then let's go ahead and put their drafty draft. So in the NFL draft this year, the Jacksonville Jaguars took C.J. Henderson, the cornerback out of Florida, Devon Chasen, the outside linebacker from LSU. They took LaVishka Chenault, Davon Hamilton, Ben Bartsch, Josiah Scott, Shaquille Quarterman, Daniel Thomas, Colin Johnson, Jay Glutton, Davis, and Chris Clay Brooks. That's their draft. The Florida pick and the LSU pick are probably the two best ones they made.
Well, yeah, C.J. Henderson is the dude that was basically replacing the guy that they traded up to the Rams. I keep forgetting.
Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah. So C.J. Henderson to me is a I don't want to say a better corner, but he's a great all around corner. C.J. Henderson was pro ready 2 years ago. Let's not make any mistakes here. The only reason, like, he decided to continue his career, he could have probably. He's the type of person that probably should have went out as a sophomore and didn't, you know, and couldn't, you know, because of the NFL NCAA rules bullshit.
So they have not brought in anybody.
Well, if you remember the statement, who said it? Remember how the offseason started, where the biggest deal was. They said that for any potential free agents, and this is from the NFL Players Association, that they need to change their management and change everything there, because we cannot recommend the Jacksonville Jaguars as a free agent destination.
So also during the pre-draft trades, they traded Dante Fowler to the Rams. They traded a fifth round pick for Joshua Dobbs, the quarterback, a backup quarterback. Then they, as you said, they sent Jalen Ramsey to the Rams. They traded AJ Aboye to Denver. They traded Nick Foles to Chicago, and then they traded Calais Campbell to Baltimore.
Yeah, which is, if you think about it, it seems like the Rams seem to be a willing partner for all of Jacksonville's castoffs. I ain't saying. I'm just saying. Blake Bortles went there last year in the offseason. You know what I'm saying? Oh, like, here, just sign him. We're going to cut him. Just please give him a job. Oh, sure, why not? You know, shit. Get paid the NFL minimum while he's still making fucking $25, $30 million a year in Jacksonville. You know? And then, of course, they gave away Jalen Ramsey for almost nothing.
Yeah, a fourth-round pick for a Pro Bowl corner.
Yeah.
That's a Belichick negotiating method.
Dude, he must have been the middleman. It's just his soft voice. Listen, we know that you got to send off these people. You know they don't want to be here. You don't want them just collecting money. Fourth round is fair. Just in his monotone voice, fourth round, it's fair.
Okay. Mr. Khan, Sean McVay, and whoever your owner is.
It's fair.
All right, so let's go ahead and jump right into the schedule for this season. Bah, bah, bah.
Look at the stash. Look at it.
All right, so they start off with the Colts. Then they got Miami. Then they play the Texans, the Chargers, the Packers, the Browns, the Titans, the Bears. The Titans again. They play the Titans twice.
Yeah.
The Bengals, the Lions, the Texans, the Steelers, the Vikings, the Ravens, and the Colts.
So they're
bookmarking their season with Colts and Colts. So Eddie and Caps.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
In the middle, you got the two Tennessee games.
So what if I told you, and you might think I'm crazy when I say this, I see a 9-7 team.
I was thinking the opposite, bro. I see a 7-9 team.
Let me tell you why. Because go back to the schedule real quick. Put up on the side. No, put up on the side. You're good. Colts at home, and then Dolphins on Thursday night. I think those are two games they can win. At Tennessee. At Houston, not gonna happen. At LA, Okay.
With the Chargers, we know Tyrod Taylor is their quarterback to start the season, but by week four, that rookie might be starting.
True. Very true. Let me think. Okay. So then 3-1. I see 3-1 in the first four. Then they got to play the Packers. It's 3-2. The Browns, I think they could beat the Browns at home. Maybe. I don't know. Or did I say the Browns was going to win that game? That might be one they steal. They're going to split Tennessee. See, I think they'll split the Colts. They'll split Tennessee. But the Texans, they'll lose both games. So that leaves only on the Lions, which I think the Lions can win. I mean, not the Lions. That thing, Jack. I said, I wonder if in the last show, did I say Jacksonville could beat the Lions?
We had a weird debate about the Lions, so that one bounced around a little bit.
Yeah, I could see Jacksonville beating the Lions, though, as long as Minshew's healthy. Bengals, of course, I could see the Jacksonville beating the Bengals.
I worry about those two Titans games, how close in proximity they are. Because playing a team two times in 3 weeks is dangerous.
Yeah, but it's also a three-game homestand. Because you got the Browns, the Titans, and Chicago. Three games all at home, 3 games in a row.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's kind of where if they can get the momentum in the Browns game, as this is our house, then they can do the same thing with Tennessee and then probably fend off Chicago or lose a close one in Chicago.
You see that those last three games are brutal at the end of the season.
Yeah,
at Minnesota, at Baltimore, at Indy.
I worry about at Baltimore because it's in the cold. That's going to be Maryland in December.
Like I said, I'm going 7-9. What'd you say, 9-7?
I'll split it 8-8. I think they improved. Yeah. The reason why I would say 8-8 is because literally Gardner Minshew is going to carry this offense. That's the only way that this is going to go. Unfortunately, they don't have the talent on offense. From this standpoint where we're speaking right now, outside of Gardner Minshew and Leonard Fournette to make this work. They have the receiver that they have D.D. Westbrook. But we saw last year that D.D. Westbrook is not a number one option. He's in the Juju Smith-Schuster category of guys that – but see – it's not Didi's fault. Didi didn't want to be a fucking number one option. The fucking Jacksonville management got rid of Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns.
Marquise Lee got hurt.
Marquise Lee got hurt. Everybody was fucked. Hi, Didi. How you doing, buddy?
And now Marquise Lee's on the Patriots, but he's holding out this season.
Oh, lovely. So that's where
I went 7-9. You went 8-8 on that one.
Yeah.
Overall, better records than last year. Around the same judgment we have, I just worry. Like I said, I worry about playing Tennessee three times in two games. So
yeah, I know that they'll split it. That three-game homestand is going to really show you if Jacksonville is a legitimate team or not. And then they got a three-game road stand at the end of the season, which is going to suck.
Yeah. All right. So next up in the AFC South, we have another 7-9 team. That was the Indianapolis Colts with their new quarterback, Philip Rivers.
Yes. Yes. This is an enigma. I'm so disappointed about the fact that there's no Jacoby Brissett this season. Make no mistake. I'm not doing that because I favor black quarterbacks, okay? Before Jacoby Brissett's injury, he was one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, he was a Pro Bowler last year.
Yeah. He came back from the injury too early. You could tell that he came back from the injury too early because he wasn't the same person when it happened.
Absolutely.
And that's the coach's fault because they should have got a decent backup behind Jacoby Brissett. Not saying that Brian Hoyer is bad, but Brian Hoyer was not built for that offense. You can't take an athletic quarterback with the talent that Jacoby Brissett is and back him up with a pocket-standing-only quarterback. Because remember, this is the O-line that was designed to block Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck is a mobile quarterback, which was the reason why they got Jacoby Brissett to begin with. You see what I'm saying?
And yeah, so and Brian Hoyer is basically Tom Brady without the speed.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's sad, and that's really sad to say.
Yeah. And he's not deceptively fast as Tom Brady. See, Tom Brady will have you thinking it's all good in that pocket, and then all of a sudden will take off randomly for 5 or 6 yards to get the fucking first down. You know what I'm saying? Brian Hoyer is not that.
And, and somehow Tom Brady would juke your ass too, like he did Brian Hoyer after that year.
Yep. And he got exposed. Like Brian Hoyer really got exposed as very extremely one-dimensional, only good for one type of system. How is this gonna work now? When the O-line that they drafted to protect Andrew Luck and Jacoby Brissett, because the way that line is, how is he gonna protect Phillip Rivers?
Yeah, because they were a speed offensive line, not a power offensive line.
Exactly.
So real quick, we'll go with the COVID holdouts real quick. All defensive, Roland Milligan, Sky Moore, and Marvell Tell. They are your holdouts for the COVID situation with the Indianapolis Colts. And now we're talking about the draft, since you brought it up. Here we go with the draft picks. So you got Michael Pittman Jr., wide receiver out of USC, which is actually a really good pickup for Phillip Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan Taylor, running back out of Wisconsin. You got Julian Blackman at safety. Jacob Eason, a quarterback. Danny Painter, a guard out of Ball State. Then you got the lesser knowns, Robert Windsor, Isaiah Rogers, Desmond Patron, and Jordan Glasgow.
Yeah, so the Pittman pickup, the Taylor pickup, are probably going to be two of the best pickups that they have. Easton's probably going to be a camp guy. I mean, they're high on him, but I don't see him nowhere near the talent level of either Rivers or Brissett. Not at this stage in the game.
Yeah.
But Michael Pittman is that big, that wide receiver target that they needed. And this is funny, as we look at this record, because remember, they were 7-3.
But Brissett got hurt.
Yeah. They were on their way, remember? And it was something that we said that even with Andrew Luck out, we put our faith in Jacoby Brissett to get Indianapolis into the playoffs. That was our pick last year as a sleeper, as a sixth seed, you know? And then we were almost right until that fucking injury. So it tells you that we see what nobody else sees. Like, I see the potential.
I see what Brissett could do in New England.
Yeah.
You know, on 3 days rest, he torched the fucking number one defense in the NFL at Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. He was mistake-free. He can scramble. He's accurate. He's intelligent. And I'm not saying Phillip Rivers is none of these. I think he's very intelligent, although he's also a gunslinger like Brett Favre. He's the last of the nine breed.
The problem with Phil Rivers is he's a gunslinger who barely has any arm strength left.
True. And they won't be able to hide that. And now people's jobs are going to be at stake. Frank Reich, I don't know what Frank Reich is going to do to put him in position. I know Frank Reich, he was a great quarterback coach because he's the one that coached up Nick Foles to win that Super Bowl. Okay? So I honestly thought they should have picked up Nick Foles somewhere. They should have traded for Nick Foles. If they were going to go this route, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I wouldn't have went the Phillip Rivers route. I don't like this. I don't like this pick at all.
They made no notable moves in the offseason to help the team.
No, and which is mostly understandable because they got – what's that one receiver? The number one receiver. That was T.Y. Hilton. They got T.Y. Hilton. They got Pittman. They had the other receiver that's there now, but they don't have their tight end no more. Ebron's gone. As we just
said. They got Zach Pascal. T.Y. Yeah, and remember, they lost Devin Funchess, too.
Yep. And so I don't know how this is going to go.
So let's go ahead and take a look at the schedule. So the Indianapolis Colts schedule, they start off with Jacksonville, then they got Minnesota, the Jets, the Bears, the Browns, the Bengals, the Lions, the Ravens, Titans, the Packers, the Titans, the Texans, the Raiders, the Texans, the Steelers, the Jaguars, My God, that's the murderer's row between week 10 and 15.
So I can see, like I said, we talked about the split in Jacksonville. Yeah, I think they'll split. They're the ones that I can see splitting with Jacksonville, splitting with Tennessee, but not splitting with Houston. Again, I think that's – I'm giving Houston a lot of credit here, but I think Houston's schedule is probably the harshest schedule out of all these schedules, and we'll get to that in a second.
Well, like I said, week 16 is kind of a murderer's row. They could lose – they could theoretically lose every single one of those games.
Oh, yeah. Well, right now I even have them at – let's see. I have them losing to the Jags, losing to the Vikings, beating the Jets, losing to the Bears, losing to the Browns, beating the Bengals, beating the Lions, and losing to the Ravens. What did I say? That's 4-4, right?
Yep.
Now we come into week 10. I think they could beat the Titans at home. It's a division game. But after all that, it's fucked. So I would say the Titans game.
Week 10 is at Tennessee.
Yeah. So, but the week 12 one.
Yeah.
So that's the only one I see them winning out of those last ones. So we're talking about 5-11.
I'm going to actually look at some revigoration in Philip Rivers. Same record they had last year at 7-9.
I can't. That's my problem. I can't. I'm looking at this, and I can't see three more wins or two more wins. I can't see it because then.
I think they upset the Bears at Chicago just because that's a Phil Rivers thing to do.
This is going to be fun. Yeah, 5-11, and the coach is going to get fired.
And it ain't his fault.
It ain't his fault. It was GM's fault, but you know how the shit goes.
So we're both predicting Indianapolis to be down in the dumps this year.
Yep.
So next up, we are going with the Cinderella team of last year, team that has the biggest running back in NFL history who can run a 4.440. We're going with the 9-7 Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill revitalized his career last year in Tennessee after being traded by Miami. Derrick Henry earned a paycheck. And I still think he should have held out unless he was getting paid more than Ryan Tannehill, but he's a running back and Tannehill's a quarterback, so that doesn't matter.
Yeah, you already know how that goes. It never turns out well for any running back. Although Derrick Henry deserves to be the highest paid running back in the NFL by a mile. As much criticism as Derrick Henry caught over the last couple years, he's finally earned that big ass paycheck that he's been searching for. The Tennessee Titans, they run where Derrick Henry runs. And Tannehill, with his scrambling ability, the ability to make plays on the fly, his ability to both see things as a quarterback, as a wide receiver, because he played both, gives him the wherewithal to see things that nobody else sees. And now they have the talent behind them. They have, what are the receiving core? Their receiving core is not even like great, but they
are because of Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
At receiver, they got A.J. Brown, Cameron Barston, Rashard Davis, Cody Hollister, Adam Humphries, who was really good last year.
Yeah, Humphries was great.
Caleb Randolph, and I think they drafted four wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And they drafted Mason Kinsey, Nick Westbrook-Wine, Kristen Wilkerson, and Kyle Williams. Those are their new wide receivers that are just added to the team.
So remember, this team is the team that almost beat Kansas City last year. So,
yes, it wasn't for like two or three plays. They had that game on lock.
Yeah. Mike Vrabel.
One of the only teams to beat the Patriots in back-to-back games.
Yeah. Mike Vrabel is a hell of a coach.
Mike Vrabel outcoached.
Yeah. Well, I think, see, the difference between Mike Vrabel and guys like, who's the coach of the Lions?
Fisher.
Yeah. And then of course, the Flores in Miami. The difference between Vrabel and all those two is that Vrabel actually played in the entire system and then coached the system, not only just in New England, but he then coached it in Houston for a little bit before he became a head coach in Tennessee. So all that experience from a player side and a coach side really set him up for the success that he has now. With that said, Tennessee looks like, to me, the division winners of this division. I know we're going to get on Houston, but I think
we're going to be close. They're going to be good this year.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about two really good teams coming out of the South.
As far as the COVID holdouts, only offensive tackle Anthony McKinney, he's holding out due to COVID. So let's go ahead and jump right into that draft real quick. Bam. So their draft picks on the season were
got Isaiah Wilson. They drafted another one.
Yep. Christian Fulton, Darrington Evans, Lavelle Murchison, Cole McDonald, and Chris Jackson.
Well, yeah, because once they got rid of Mariota, they didn't have a backup QB. So they added a backup, and then Cole McDonald's the third string, and this guy's going to be a camp dude. Grabbed him in the second round. Who knows where he comes on at. But Isaiah Wilson, an offensive lineman, and a Christian Fulton. Fulton specifically, I'm surprised he went in the second round. And Tennessee scooped his ass right up close to the end of the second round. So
yeah. And as far as offseason additions through free agency, they signed Vic Beasley from Atlanta. They signed Jack Crawford, also from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Nick Dubnar, I can't say his last name. And so they picked Atlanta clean. And Ty Sambielli from the Falcons.
Well, yeah, a lot of those guys, they did well in camp for Atlanta. They just scooped them right up and brought them over to Tennessee. It's not that far away. So I think this is a great season. Let's get into the schedule because I really want to psychoanalyze the schedule that we got going on.
Over here on the schedule, we got Denver, Jacksonville, Minnesota, the Vikings, the Steelers, the Bills, the Texans, the Bengals, the Bears, the Colts, the Ravens, the Colts, the Browns, the Jaguars, the Lions, the Packers, and the Texans.
So so this one's at Broncos. That's going to be tough, but I think that's going to set the tone for the rest of the season that they're going to come in.
Broncos still don't have a quarterback.
Exactly. Well, they have that one young dude.
As I said, they still don't have a quarterback.
So I think that's going to set the tone as a dominant win for the start of the season. Then we're going to have they're going against Jacksonville at home, which I said that they'll beat Jacksonville. I think they could come into Minnesota and win. Like, that's something else. Then I think they could also beat the Steelers. I think they can start the season 4-0. Their toughest game is going to be against Buffalo, which Buffalo's defense is freaking legit.
But that's in Tennessee, though.
I know that, but it's still, that doesn't do them any favors. That actually helps out Buffalo because they're not playing in the cold. We got the Houston Texans, which I think they're one of the few teams that I feel that could split the series with the Texans. And that one's at home. So they have a decent homestand. Look, a three-game homestand before the bye week. With Steelers, Bills, and Texans. And then after that, of course, I think they can beat Buffalo. I mean, not Buffalo. I think they can beat the Bengals. I think they can beat the Bears. Which one is the first one? They could beat the Colts. Ravens is going to be.
I think they sweep the Colts.
You think they sweep the Colts? Oh, yeah. We did talk. Well, you think they sweep the Colts? I'm not sure. Division games are always one of those weird ones, man. Like, you got to throw the stats and shit out the window. And then
it comes down
football to football. Like, I don't know. So, me, I think they'll lose to the Ravens because it's the Ravens at Baltimore.
Even though they went in there in the playoff atmosphere last year and dominated Baltimore at Baltimore.
Yeah. Is the Browns game is at home, right?
Yep, it's at home.
Browns game is at home. I think they could beat the Browns at home. Jacksonville, I remember I told you they'll split the Jacksonville one. So that's the away one that they'll split. The December game is still a flex game. That's their flex game because we don't know whether it's going to be played on the 19th or the 20th.
Yeah.
They'll beat the Lions. The Packers they'll lose to. And then the Texans they'll lose at that one. So we're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4. Shit. 11-5.
Wow, that's exactly what I have, Matt.
Yeah, 11-5.
I think they beat Green Bay due to the fact that Green Bay can't stop the run.
That is true, too. That is true, too. It's either going to be that Tampa Bay game or that Green Bay game.
The Tampa Bay game is not on the schedule.
Oh, that's preseason. I'm so sorry. I'm tripping. So it's either going to be the what I say. So we did the season split, except for three games in the division, and then 11-5. So the only losses I see past that are the Ravens, and as I said the Buffalo. That's really the only ones I see. Buffalo, I have faith in Buffalo in beating Tennessee because of their defense. It's going to be a smash mouth game. And when it comes down to it, Josh Allen is something else. You know, when we talk about the East, we'll get to that. I don't trust Josh Allen, but that doesn't mean he's not fucking talented. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't trust him, but he's fucking talented as hell. I think that defense with Josh Allen and Josh Allen can will him to a win. So.
Yep, 11-5 for both of us.
11-5.
So next up we're going to be talking about the division winners of last year. Deshaun Watson took the 2019 Texans 10-6. They beat New England at New England to get into the playoffs and win their division last year. It was a dominant victory. This Houston Texans team, they lost. Their big loss is going to be
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes, okay. My brain just shut down for a hot second.
Listen, Bill O'Brien, we got to, this is the part where we got to do our Bill O'Brien jokes and we got to figure out who the hell he's going to trade next for a pack of Oreos and 3 sticks of bubble gum.
Let's just start here. With DeAndre Hopkins being traded to Arizona, they suddenly filled their wide receiver slots with Randall Cobb, Brandon Cooks, and of course Will Fuller is there.
They filled their receiving core with injury prone mofos. Okay, all right, okay. Well, Will Fuller's always been there, but them injury prone mofos, Randall Cobb and freaking Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks, who gets knocked unconscious at least 2 times a season.
Two times is. When they talk about post-concussion syndrome, that's a picture of Brandon Cooks.
Poster child.
And so, what's his name? Randall Cobb has the same problem. Why in the division where you have tough defenses are you getting people with head problems?
Because their head coach has head problems.
Makes sense. There you go. There you go.
So we like to clown on Bill O'Brien, but we have the right to due to the fact that Not only did he trade DeAndre Hopkins, he traded him for two bags of chips and a jar of pickles.
Yes.
And then came out and said coaching him was like being around Aaron Hernandez, a murderer.
I was just like, wow. Really? Really? Oh, Houston, I love you. And I love Deshaun Watson, but Bill O'Brien is going to be your downfall. I have a lot of faith in Houston. Well, I did. But they're without Deshaun, I mean, without DeAndre Hopkins, they are not the same team. I don't even care how good the defense is. Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins built a bond that now is broken because you can't really trust anybody on there because we don't know who's going to be there. Randall Cobb might get injured in the fucking – well, there is no preseason. Randall Cobb might just get fucking injured. Walking in his house.
Randall Cobb's going to get knocked out for 3 weeks and he's going to come back and get knocked out again.
Yeah. And so what are we doing now? What are we fucking doing?
Let's take a look at the draft. And the only person they lost due to COVID was Eddie Vandenhuis, and he was a defensive lineman, a third stringer, so he really doesn't matter. So let's take a look at their draft picks here. So we got Ross Blacklock. Oh my God, I almost said Blackhawk. Blacklock. We got Jonathan Greenard, Charlie Heck, John Reed, and Isaiah Coulter.
I don't even know who Isaiah Coulter is. But you see how bad this is that Houston didn't have a first-round draft pick.
Only their draft picks. You compare that to the Vikings draft picks, that the Vikings had like 20.
Exactly.
Do you recognize any of these names?
No.
Except for Blackhawk?
No, I don't even recognize him.
Texas Christian, baby. Texas Christian.
Texas Christian University has not been relevant since Andy Dalton was there. Didn't Andy Dalton? Yeah, he was there.
So probably. They didn't do themselves no favors in the draft. They didn't do themselves any favors in signing anybody because, let's see, they got they traded Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills to the Dolphins. They traded Jadeveon Clowney to the Seahawks the year before.
He's struggling. You're struggling over there. He's on the dark web.
They got cornerback from the Raiders. They got Duke Johnson from the Browns. Keon Clawson, a fifth string corner from New England. The big thing for the DeAndre Hopkins trade is that they got a broken down running back named David Johnson.
Oh yeah, David Johnson, another problem. Who's running this team? Trent Baalke, the former GM of the fucking Niners?
Bill O'Brien is their GM also.
Well, he must be calling Trent Baalke for free agency advice and trade advice because he seems to be getting injured people and people we've never heard of. Somebody tell me. So South Carolina, Marcus Lattimore. Remember Marcus Lattimore? He blew out both his knees. So you tell me why we spent the second round draft pick for him.
Hey, you're not going to get diamonds without squeezing some coal, okay?
How about we just go for some rubies and hope for the best? That sounds better than trying to squeeze for some diamonds and ended up with like moissanite or some shit.
Bill O'Brien, I feel bad for Deshaun Watson because even after he traded DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson himself was posting pictures of himself in a Patriots jersey wanting to get traded to New England in the offseason.
Nigga posted pictures of looking outside the window like this. And Deshaun Watson's out in the DeAndre Hopkins out in the distance.
DeAndre Hopkins out there talking with
him. If you're gonna trade, you might as well just trade Deshaun Watson to Arizona too for fucking Kyler Murray at that point. I mean,
how do you piss off your star quarterback so bad that he is posting pictures on Instagram of himself in a Patriots jersey Talk about hot at me, Bill. Hot at me.
it's gonna be a problem.
So let's go ahead and take a look at their schedule. So here's their schedule. They open up against the Chiefs.
Fuck.
Then they go to Baltimore.
Fuck.
Then you got Pittsburgh, the Vikings, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Packers, the Jaguars, Patriots. Then they have their bye week. Then they're home against the Patriots. Then we got the Lions, the Colts, the Bears, the Colts, the Bengals, and the Titans. This is not a favorable schedule by any means.
So let me tell you like it is. So for the Jacksonville scenario, I said they're not going to split Jacksonville. They'll beat Jacksonville twice. Okay. They'll split the Colts. No, they'll beat the Colts twice. And Tennessee, so they'll end up 4-2 in their division. Well, 4-5-1 in their division. Past that, whoo, shit.
I think the only guaranteed wins they have is the Bengals.
Depends on how far the playoff race they are. Shit. Listen. they're gonna be 0-4 before the Jacksonville game.
So I'm gonna see. I trust Deshaun Watson to win some of these games.
You trust him to beat Kansas City?
No, I didn't say all that. Yeah.
Hold on.
I said some of these games. I'm counting Kansas City and Baltimore as losses. Pittsburgh is questionable. I think they can win that game. Home against Minnesota, I think they win that game. They beat Jacksonville. I think they lose to the Titans. They lose to the Packers. I have them going 9-7 this year.
So, why you said 4-2 in their division? That's four straight L's in a row for me. That's 4-6. Packers game 4-7. Lions they'll beat 5-7. Patriots is all going to be dependent on if we're talking about Cam Newton's Patriots or Jared Stidham's Patriots. If we're talking about Cam Newton's Patriots, the Patriots are going to stomp all over them, dude. The Browns, I think they can win that one. I think the Browns can win.
The Browns are not in their schedule.
And yes, they are. The top left, top right.
Oh, shit. I thought that was the fucking controller. It does not look like a directional pad.
What the hell?
It looks like a D-pad, don't it?
Yeah, it does. It does.
That's why I thought that was their bye week.
Seven. I have them at 4-7. 5-7. Dude, I have them maybe 7-9?
7-9?
7-9.
Ooh, that's a big step back for this.
Dude, I don't see them beating the first four teams on their schedule. They're going to be 0-4, and by the time we get to – and somehow, some way, if Jacksonville beats them twice, Bill Bryan is going to be fired by week 10.
Be fired by week 1.
Nigga, Mahomes is going to go – it's going to be like 58-3. Patrick Mahomes – He's gonna go for like 700 yards passing.
So we both have the Tennessee Titans winning this division.
Yes.
Our records are fairly close with the exception of the Colts, where I had 7-9, you had 5-11.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we're basically the same on all of our picks in this division. Give or take a game or two. So, so I should have asked this the last few videos, but I didn't, so I'm going to start asking it now. Where do you see the AFC South winner with the new playoff format? Did they have the first round bye, or did they won the first six games? in the playoffs.
Tennessee at 11-5, considering we have, what, two more teams to talk about? Well, three more teams? Well, two more divisions to talk about in the AFC.
Four divisions to talk about.
I've already deemed Baltimore as my division winner. Already. In there. So Tennessee's gonna win a division, but I think Baltimore at 12-4.
Yeah.
And then 11-5. The Chiefs, without me looking at the schedule and knowing when we get to the West, they're still to me a 13-3, 12-4 team. Mm-hmm. So is it three teams getting a bye or four teams?
No, remember, only one team gets a bye.
Oh, one team gets a bye. So, no, they'll be playing in the first set of games.
The first set of playoff games?
Yeah.
I think Kansas City or Baltimore is going to get the number one team.
Yeah. I'd have to really take a look at the Chiefs' schedule one more again. And which I don't think –
we're doing the West next time, I think.
Yeah. No. In 2 weeks from now.
Oh, yeah. But I'm talking about when we record.
Yeah.
So we do the West and the East next week.
Yeah.
So, that is the AFC South rundown. If you're on YouTube and you like us, go ahead, drop us a like, comment, and subscribe. Ring that bell so you know when the videos are open. If you're on Facebook, go ahead and like and share, Sinful Black Sports. We love you guys. You guys have been awesome for us. You got anything, Jay?
Yes, make sure you like and subscribe. Make sure you look out for us. We do what we do to provide you with the best content that we can deliver. Make sure you check out YouTube. Make sure you check out the podcasts on Spotify, Apple, anywhere that you can get a podcast. Go ahead and check us out at. We love to make sure y'all get exactly what y'all need. So
you can have whatever you like. Hey. Have whatever you like. Hey. You can even have a small fry. But anyway, my name is Big Sin. That man right there is the Hollywood to the J to the Pizzle. We are Sinful Black Entertainment, and we are out this bitch. Deuces.